Make sure you're on mute.
I was trying. Chris, alcoholic. Sobriety date's April 28, 2014. Extremely grateful for that. Good morning, everyone. To the men who trudge, Jim, thank you so much for asking me to speak. This is probably about my somebody muted me. Sorry. All right. So again, thank you for allowing me to share. I like to stay in the solution more than worry about the drunkalogue, right? Because, I tell beginners, stick around and don't leave before the miracle happens for you, because miracles have happened for me in the last 10 and a half years that I owe to my higher power and I owe to this program. Let's rewind a little bit. So I'm from Rochester, New York. Joined the Navy at 19. So that was 1996. In 04, me and a bunch of buddies decided we were going to go down to North Carolina to the Charlotte Coca-Cola 600. And we pretty much planned events, drinking events. We planned beer pong. We called it the spin and spew, where you like had to like spin around a wiffle ball bat and run down. I mean, just stupid shit, right? The end of the night, our neighbors had a souped up golf cart, gas powered golf cart, and we ran out of beer at like 2:30 in the morning or something. There was a little station about a mile down the campsite, and we all hopped on this souped up golf cart. Well, when they went in the store to get the beer, I didn't go in the store, but curiosity killed the cat and I slid over behind the wheel. And the campground was blocked by an RV coming back in. So we decided to go out on the shoulder of the road. Needless to say, yours truly got a DUI and a golf cart. All right. Back in 04, I was in the Navy. Most of the time, I had to come back, and we were stupid. We dyed our hair blonde. I mean, we were all drunk. We dyed our hair blonde. We were so stupid. I had to go back that next Tuesday because this was a Memorial Day weekend. I had to go back that Tuesday and tell my chain of command that I got a DUI and a golf cart down in Carolina. I was the leader of my division. I was the first class, so I was an E6. Not very smart. Anyway, I went to what they call alcohol impact. And I had to look at my relationship on a whiteboard with alcohol, right? How many times you threw up? How many times you blacked out? How many times you drove drunk? How many times you did this, that, got in fights, whatever it was, right? And looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, I said to myself, am I an alcoholic? Right? Because I used to joke all the time, alcoholics go to meetings. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't go to meetings. Well, anyway, I remember calling my mother and be like, Mom, am I an alcoholic? Am I a drunk? Like, because I'm looking at this relationship on this whiteboard thinking, oh my goodness, I gotta be a drunk. Anyway, if fear had me for like a month, right? My captain decided just to punish me. She didn't even see me because it was on a golf cart. She didn't even like put me in front of her. Literally, she just gave me a crappy evaluation and said, okay, you're going to be in the penalty box for like 5 years. You're not going to get advanced for like 5 years because you screwed up. So, about a month, I was scared straight. Then I started drinking again. And then, the joy, the fun all started happening again. I'm all over the world at this point. I'm in Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia, getting drunk everywhere, Australia. Didn't even get to hold a koala. Looking back at it now, all I did was drink, go to the bars. So if we fast forward now, it's 2014, or no, 2011. I had this freak incident happen where my appendix was swollen and I needed to get it out. I was over in Bahrain in the Middle East, and I had to have a surgery over there to get this appendix removed. I had this chronic pain issue after this surgery, and I still have it to this day. Don't know what happened, if they nicked a nerve, if they did something wrong, if I was laid on the operating table, screwed up. Anyway, this chronic pain I used it as a crutch a lot. And if you look at the end of my drinking career, I started playing cornhole like competitively in Texas. I was ranked 35th out of like 400 people. I mean, I was getting good. I was traveling, making money. But what I would do is I would call into work, right? And I would tell them like my chronic pain was acting up and I'd be resting so that I was good enough to play on the weekends. The insanity of that, right? My job, and I'm supposed to be leading sailors, but yet I'm more concerned about me and my tournaments than I am about leading sailors and taking care of them and making sure that they're okay to complete the mission. So my last drunk was it was about 2 weeks before April 28th. I say April 28th because that was my first AA meeting. And to me, that's when I got sober. So my last drunk, I was really depressed, and I went into my, I remember that weekend so well. I ordered pizza like all weekend long. I just watched TV, past the hours, didn't talk to nobody. I wasn't like suicidal or wanting to harm anybody or anything. I had no energy. I was just like, you know what? I'm just here. Now, if you spend your weekend like that, there's a good chance Monday morning you're not going to be able to wake up. So that's exactly what happened. So what I did was I called my new division officer and I told him that I was going to medical, right, to give me, buy myself some time to sleep. And I'd been doing this for a while and I didn't realize, us alcoholics, we think we're so slick that we're getting away with everything. Meanwhile, they're building a case on me in the Navy, which I had no clue. And I told him, "Hey, I'm going to medical. My chronic pain's really bad right now. They'll probably give me some shots. I can come in this afternoon." I'd been doing it for a while. Well, he goes, "Okay, chief." I was a chief at this point. He goes, "Okay, chief, no problem." And I hung up the phone and went back to bed. An hour later, he calls me and he goes, "Hey, chief, how was the doctor?" And I was like, "Oh, it went great. He gave me some injections, this and that." And he goes, "Okay, I'm going to need to see some proof of paperwork when you come into work." And I was like, "Okay, no problem." Hung up the phone and I'm thinking, "You dumbass, you just lied to your division officer. You just told him that you went to the doctor, got injections." Needless to say, I called him back and I told him I lied and that I was depressed. And as soon as I got in, I was in front of the executive officer, which is second in command. Anyway, the chain of command said, like, what a piece of crap I was, this and that. And the XO goes, "I think this sailor might have a drinking problem." And for me, I was like, no way. There's no way it's a drinking problem. Well, after he said that, it hit me. I remember going back to my desk and I Googled, "Are you an alcoholic?" And it said, if you have three or more yeses, you might have a problem. I had 17 out of 20. I was like, okay, all right. So right then and there, I feel like I did step one, man. Like in my heart, I knew I was alcoholic. Well, the Navy doesn't give you much choice. Okay. You have to go to a counselor. You have to go to intake, like outpatient intake, where they basically assess your drinking. And that was the first time I was ever honest. And the counselor said, "Well, I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure you're an alcoholic." Well, in our program, we tell each other we don't pronounce each other alcoholic, right? You have to do that on your own. Sure enough, she told me I was alcoholic. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm alcoholic. So she gave me a little book full of the meetings in the local San Antonio area. And I was scared. And I said, "How about I go after I get in trouble?" She goes, "No, I think you should go tonight." Oh, okay. So I went, and for those of you that have gone to live meetings, maybe even here, I don't know. When the chairperson asks, "Is anyone here for their very first meeting?" and you raise your hand, the meeting gets directed at you. So the meeting got directed right at me, and I was full of fear. I thought my career was over. I'd been in for 17 years at the time, and I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna kick me out after 17 years as a Navy chief. So when I went, I heard keep coming back. I heard, it gets better. I heard a couple things. I didn't hear a lot, right? Because I was full of fear. After the meeting was the most important, a guy came up to me and he said, "Dude, what's your story?" And I told him what was going on, and I went out on the patio of a place called the Winners Club, and I talked to this Marine, Vietnam vet, former drill instructor, and I shared what was going on, and he said, "Hey, Chris, you're not telling anything but an alcoholic story." And I was like, "Wow, that was profound, man." I was like, "This is where I belong. This is it." I said, "This is where I'm going to find a solution. This is where, I'm going to get sober. My life's going to change." So I wound up writing a letter to the captain telling him the things that I knew about AA, my plan that I was going to attend. Now, at this point, I really didn't have a relationship with any kind of higher power, anything, right? I was just flying. My way wasn't working. My way had me in deep trouble. So I wound up going to see the captain. And same thing, the chain of command said what a piece of crap I was. And the XO said I would rip the uniform off this kid and throw him out the gate. And I'm like, oh my God, that's hard to take. That is hard to take because you think you've had some good moments in your career. You've also had some real shit ones. So the captain did something I've never seen done in a captain's mast. And this is where a higher power showed up for sure. He kicked everybody out of the room and he said, "Chief, stand at ease." I was like, "What is going on here?" And he goes, "I too have a drinking problem." He goes, "It's not easy to overcome, but you can do it if you really want to." And he said, "I read your letter. I really love your plan." He said, "But all that shit you did isn't going unpunished." He goes, "You're gonna get fined and you're gonna get extra duty." And I thought, wow, a higher power showed up. Because could you guys imagine if that captain didn't have a drinking problem and I'm just another guy? I mean, he would have thrown me on my ass. So the captain says, hands me my punishment, brings everybody back in the room, hands me my punishment. I'm thinking, man, I want to go inpatient, right? I don't want everybody to know that a Navy chief at our command got in trouble, right? It's listed in the plan of the day, so everybody knows who it is, right? I don't want to face everybody, but I have to. I have to be humble enough to hold my head high and say, you know what? He's given me another chance. I was found guilty, but all I got to do is be accountable, be where I'm supposed to be, and stay involved in AA. That's it for the next 3 years, and I can retire at 20. There were times where depression kicked in, and I would call my sponsor, and he would say, "Dude, I don't care how you feel. Get your ass up, get your uniform on, and go to work." He's like, "I don't care if you are, on the floor." He's like, "'Cause the spotlight's on." So after that first meeting, after I got punished, I went right back to the Winners Club and I was like, man, I feel such a relief. Now I can dive into the solution, right? And get sober and learn how to live sober. So one of the things that stuck with me was surrender to win. I heard this saying and it was on the wall at the Winners. And for me, I was just like, wow, that is so awesome. Like, my way didn't work. Maybe his way will, right? My way was terrible. So I met my sponsor that night. That Marine Vietnam vet is my sponsor to this day. And I was still in, right, at 17 years. And he told me, when I retire at night, put my boots under my bed and say a simple prayer, right? Hey, higher power, please, or thank you for keeping me sober today, right? In the morning, when I'm down there to put my boots on, ask him to keep me sober today. I was like, I can do that. I don't know what this higher power is right now, but, I grew up, I felt like it was a scorekeeping God. I felt like, oh, you did this, you cheated, you did this, boop. boop, like you're going to hell type thing. I went to church, and my mom put me in youth group. We drank and hooked up with girls. Like that was my that's what I did at youth group. I wasn't listening to any messages. So after I got my ass handed to me, I started going to lots of meetings, right? I had a home group. I got a home group. That was important. I got a home group. I shared my experience, during those meetings, what was going on in the world. I called my sponsor, especially if I felt squirrely, right? I picked up the phone, that 1,000-pound phone, before I picked up a drink. I dated in the first 5 months, which I would not recommend. Man, I dated a girl in the program. I think the reason why they say don't date is because there's a lot of change happening in the early stages of recovery, and you may not even like the person that you were when you started dating, or the person that you dated. I got involved heavily in service during birthday nights. I would stack the chairs back up on the table. I would, empty the ashtrays. I'd do whatever was asked, right? Then I started chairing meetings at like 5 months. I knew that just staying in the middle, that's so important. Staying in the middle of this program, if you think about it, Mr. AA on a pedestal has no humility, right? Then you got the guy on the edge who's ready to fall off and relapse. If you stay in the middle, you can't go either way. So for me, staying in the middle involved meetings, doing chairperson, getting involved in group conscious, and then eventually sponsoring somebody, right? I started sponsoring after doing my fourth step and my fifth step. The gifts my higher power has given to me, it's unbelievable. Like in sobriety, I met my beautiful wife. We wound up having a son. He's three now. Never was married, was a womanizer. Had to change all that, right? And that's not an overnight process, man. When you are a womanizer for 40 something years of your life, like that is a difficult thing to overcome. I had to work the steps on it, right? You can work the steps on anything. I worked the steps on false intimacy, thinking that I would, create these images and create these relationships in my mind. So I became a chairperson for my home group. I volunteered around the club. Then I found a great online group and started sponsoring people there. That's where I met Rob S. from Buffalo, and he asked me to sponsor him. So I have three or four sponsees right now, and what that does is that keeps me in the program, right? That keeps me in the book. That keeps me back to the basics. If we're reading Bill's story, there I am right back in the beginning, right? And it's working. I have not relapsed, knock on wood, because I stay in the middle of the program. So let's see. Spiritual awakenings. So after working these steps with a sponsor, I've had many spiritual awakenings, and this is an experience you don't want to miss if you're a newcomer. I'm going to share one. But before I share that, I just want to say I also opened up to co-hosted and opened up two Zoom meetings. One is a veterans meeting. So if we have any veterans here, hit me up after the meeting and we'll hopefully get you into the veterans meeting. The other is a keep it super simple speaker meeting on Monday evenings. And the reason we did that was we wanted to grow within. So like if Tom was going to share his story on Monday, the premise was like, hey, keep coming, Tom, to the meeting, and we get to know Tom, so that we just don't see faces. We actually know each other's stories. So keep it super simple. I was told to do five things a day. One, ask your po higher power to keep you sober today. Two, attend a meeting. Three, call your sponsor. Four, read the big book. Five, thank your higher power at the end of the day. It was that simple, guys. We alcoholics love to complicate things. It was really that simple. So I want to share real quick about a spiritual awakening. I think I've had half a dozen now. But this one raises the hair on the back of my neck. I was going to a I worked on Lackland Air Force Base over in San Antonio. Had a buddy with me. I drive a 2010 Camaro SS. If you guys are familiar with that car, the pocket of the car is like this big. So you can't, I got big hands. It's hard to reach in there, right? This guy, who I think is a bum, comes up to me and he says, "Sir, do you have 83 cents?" Thinking this is one strange request. Who asked for 83 cents? So I look in my wallet to see if I have like a dollar to give him, and I don't. Well, something told me to look in that little pocket, and I started pulling out change. So I pull out a quarter, and I pull out a dime, right? And I pull out another dime, a nickel, another quarter, a dime, another dime. At the very bottom, there's 3 pennies sitting there. There's 83 cents exactly in that little pocket. I was just like, wow. So I gave him the 83 cents. I told him to have a good day. I went and pumped my gas and I watched him disappear off into the sunset. And I was just like, wow. Like, to me, this was like my higher power, who I do choose to call God today, basically saying, do you have the patience and the tolerance to find that 83 cents that I've asked for? And it was amazing. I've also had spiritual awakenings where I've been risen to heaven and I've dropped to hell. And then I've also risen to heaven and stayed in heaven. So stick around, guys. This program is absolutely amazing. Prayer, I didn't know how to pray until I read in the 12 and 12 where it said, put this qualification after your prayer, that if it's thy will. Right? Thy will be done, not mine. Otherwise, I'm just telling God what I want him to do. Right? So I always say, like, bless the alcoholic in and out of the rooms of AA, if it's your will, God. Right? Because otherwise, it's just a list. Enough from me. I really want to hear what you guys have to say. I don't want to take up the whole meeting. That's selfish and not humble, and that's not me. So I want to hear what y'all have to say. Thanks.